God, by His Word and by His Spirit, I believe, wants to urge and motivate each of us afresh today from Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. The Spirit of God has moved afresh upon my heart, and I believe that God, by His Word and by His Spirit, wants to move afresh upon your hearts to urge you and to motivate you from Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Jesus was instructing His disciples then, and God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is directing each of us today. You are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Anybody here yet perfect? All the perfect people, lift your hand. All right, good. No one's lifted their hand. But we're going to get a little bit more insight into what that means. What was Jesus meaning when He said, you are to be perfect? Now, both references to the word perfect in this verse, interestingly, are from the same Greek root word for perfect, telios, which means complete. And it's a state of perfection that is free from fault, free from defect, free from shortcoming, and by extension, catch this now, perfectly mature. Any mature believers in the house? Make no mistake about it. Absolute perfection is a quality that belongs to God alone.
That's right.
Amen?
Yes.
He is the quintessential standard of perfection. And that quintessential standard of perfection was embodied and personified in the life of Jesus Christ. He was the total sum and substance of perfection. And it was exemplified through the life of Jesus Christ. And it's that standard of perfection that God is urging us to make steady progress in. Steady progress. Let's say that together. Steady progress. Are you making steady progress in being progressively perfected? It's a process. Let's say it together. It's a process. Aren't you glad that God gives you the latitude of due process in the perfection progression? The Amplified transliteration of Matthew chapter 5, verse 48 reads it like this. You therefore will be perfect. That is, growing in spiritual maturity, both in mindset and in character. And catch this now, actively integrating godly values into your daily life. You will be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Amen? Make no mistake about it. As God incarnate, Jesus was already morally perfect. He didn't need to be perfected. And because He was perfect, He was able to accomplish the complete once and for all time work of redemption unto the salvation of souls. Amen?
Amen?
He was the perfect example of what it means to live in obedience to the Father's will. Catch this now. At whatever the cost. At whatever the cost. Let's say that together. At whatever the cost. Maybe we could add that to our prayers. Lord God Almighty, Your will, not mine, be done on earth as it is in heaven, at whatever the cost. It's a little bit more challenging to add that last sentence on, isn't it? But that was what Jesus did when He was here on this earth. And God, by His Word and by His Spirit, affirms this afresh to us today from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 to 9. The Amplified transliteration reads it like this. That even though Jesus was the Son of God, the one who had never been disobedient to the Father, yet in His humanness, In Jesus' humanness, he experienced everything that we could ever experience as a human being. And so in his humanness, he learned, catch this now, proactive, specific obedience through what he suffered. Now, why would the Son of God have to suffer? Because the Father in heaven sent him for a specific mission to accomplish a specific purpose. Amen? And so Jesus, in his humanness, learned proactive, specific obedience through what he suffered. And his suffering was in accordance with the Father's perfect will and specific plan for his life on earth. And having been made uniquely equipped and prepared to be the Savior, and retaining his integrity to the Father's mission at hand in the face of intense opposition, he became the source of eternal salvation. Amen. In the face of intense opposition. Anybody here have any opposition since you've come to Christ as Savior? Anybody here have any intense opposition?
Yeah.
On one front or another, because you've decided what the Father has directed you to do in Christ Jesus, your Savior and Lord. Make no mistake about it. Jesus accomplished the process of coming to understand perfect obedience to the Father's will for his life, which caused him to become the source of eternal salvation and an eternal inheritance. An eternal inheritance to all those who submit their lives in obedience to him. Obedience to him. Let's say that together. Obedience to him. God the Father then designated him as our high priest. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus is alive and well. Amen?
Amen?
He is seated right now as I speak at the right hand of the Father. And he is ever interceding for you at the right hand of the Father. Amen?
Amen.
You can beseech the intercession of Jesus before the Father's throne. You can plead the blood of Jesus Christ on the courts of heaven and see what God will do to answer your prayers through the intercession of Jesus. Amen. You can go boldly before the throne of God's grace to receive grace and mercy and whatever else you need. Amen. In your time of need. Amen.
Amen.
Because Jesus is there.
Amen.
And he's interceding for you.
Amen.
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 Isn't that encouraging to know?
Amen.
God, by his word and by his spirit, catch this now, is calling us to progressively pursue becoming perfected in the pattern of Jesus. To consistently reflect the perfection of Jesus in the way that we live, in the way that we submit our lives, at whatever the cost, to what the Word of God would direct us to do, to what the Spirit of God would direct us to do, to what the Father's perfect will for our lives would be, that we would consistently reflect the perfection of Jesus in the way that he did, and to make it our purposeful intention to grow in our maturity in Christ. By living our lives completely surrendered. Completely surrendered. Are you completely surrendered and thoroughly cooperative with God the Father's word and will for your life? That's what God by his Spirit and by his word is calling us to. Even when troubles come our way as a result of obeying his word and will. Anybody here ever experienced that other than me? You obey God's word and will, and there are some troubles that come your way as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
Through relationships and through other kinds of things. And God by his Spirit is saying, readily embrace those times. Readily embrace those troubles that come as a result of obeying his word and will. Embrace it as an opportunity for your faith to be tested. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody here ever have their faith tested other than me? Where you say, I'm going to do God's word. I'm going to do what he says. And then boom, the troubles come. The opposition comes. The adversity comes. And the enemy challenges you on that and says, oh yeah, how about this? Anybody here ever experienced that other than me?
Yes.
God tests our faith not because He doesn't know where our faith is, but because He wants us to find out where our faith is. Amen?
That's right. Yeah.
So that we can grow in our faith. Amen?
That's right.
We grow from faith to faith. Amen?
Amen.
And so as a result of obeying God's word and will, we can find ourselves faced with troubles and adversity and opposition just the way that Jesus did. But we can see it as an opportunity for our endurance in Christ to grow further. Amen? Enduring to the end. Those who endure to the end. Amen? We'll see the full salvation of the Lord leading us into spiritual maturity and inner peace. There's a settling peace that comes with knowing that you're in God's will for your life, regardless of what it looks like in the natural at any given moment. Amen?
That's right.
The peace that surpasses understanding. Amen?
Amen?
To say, look, I know that I know that I know that I'm where God wants me to be, doing what He wants me to do in the manner and the timing He wants me to do it in, but it sure doesn't look like it. The cross didn't look very good, did it? Jesus hanging on the cross, that didn't look like success, did it? And so God is looking to urge us and motivate us so that we will be perfected and completely developed in our faith and lacking in nothing. Living a life that is blameless, living a life that is esteemed, living a life that is acceptable before the throne of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, spiritual maturity relates very closely to the word for perfection in the Bible. Spiritual maturity. And while as human beings with a sinful nature living in a fallen world, we will not reach absolute perfection in this life. Although some people think they have. Ever run across somebody who thinks that they have reached absolute perfection? Anybody here run across somebody like that? And you say, oh, bless your heart. But as devoted followers of Jesus Christ, God by His Word and by His Spirit is urging us, catch this now, to seek the progressive perfection of spiritual maturity in this life until we are perfected in fullness in the life to come. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
It doesn't mean that we just kind of lay back here in this life and say, well, I'm going to be perfected in fullness in the life to come. So I'll just wait to be raptured, wait for Jesus to return. There's work to be done on this earth, amen, in the meantime. And our spiritual maturity and the progressive perfection of our lives is going to be what it's going to take to advance Jesus' kingdom on this earth until He comes again, amen? We are the church. We are advancing His kingdom. And much of that comes by way of progressive perfection and spiritual maturity, amen?
Amen, amen.
Chapter 3 of Philippians is my favorite chapter in the Bible. Anybody here have a favorite chapter in the Bible or a favorite practice of Scripture? I mean, it's all good. It's all good. Let's say that together. It's all good, but you have this bracket of Scripture that kind of causes you to beat your heart a little bit more. And the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3 echoed this longing to be progressively perfected. Think about it. Here was the Apostle Paul, second to Jesus. He was the super apostle. Amen. Half of the New Testament is authored by the Spirit through the Apostle Paul. And when you look at his life and you look at all the adversities and all the opposition and the intense opposition and intense adversities that he went through, not many people would have wanted to sign up to do ministry with him. The Apostle Paul would do a sign-up sheet at the end of the church service. Who would like to do ministry with me? And he had a few couple of sign-ups, Barnabas and Mark and Luke. But think about it. Here was the Apostle Paul, and he was absolutely in the center of God's will for his life. And he was the man that at one point in his life, God brought him up to the heavenly realms and gave him heavenly visions that were just inexplicable in the natural, right? And here he is in Philippians 3, echoing his longing to be progressively perfected. And the Amplified transliteration reads it like this, picking up in verse 10. That I may know him experientially. Amen? Not just a head knowledge of Jesus, but a heart knowledge of Jesus. How do you recognize that you can know Jesus experientially? Yes, he's at the right hand of the Father, but we have the accomplishing arm of the Holy Spirit in us and in our midst that we can come to an experiential, tangible knowledge of Jesus. Amen?
Amen. Yes. Amen.
As we incline ourselves to that, as we long for that, are you longing for that? Are you longing like the Apostle Paul did to know Jesus experientially, to know him more experientially? Becoming more thoroughly acquainted with him, the Apostle Paul goes on to say, understanding the remarkable wonders of his person more completely. And in that same way, to experience the power of his resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
The power of his resurrection, which overflows, and catch this now, is active in the lives of believers now in this life. Amen?
Amen.
While we're still alive, we have the resurrection power of Jesus available to us by the Spirit in us. Amen?
Amen.
And the Apostle Paul goes on to echo his longing that I may share the fellowship of his sufferings. Uh-oh. By being continually conformed inwardly into his likeness, even to his death, dying physically as he did, so that I may attain to the resurrection that will raise me from the dead. Amen? I mean, if we die before we're raptured, we're going to be raised from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
The dead in Christ will rise first. Amen?
Amen.
And then those who remain on earth in Christ will then be raptured. Amen?
Amen.
And so the Apostle Paul is saying, certainly I'm going to attain to the resurrection from the dead as Jesus did. But in the meantime, I can rise by the Spirit with the resurrection power of Jesus that's in me now,
yes,
in this life,
yes,
while I'm still alive in this earth.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes. Amen.
And then he goes on to say, not that I have already obtained it. Work in progress. Amen. I have not obtained it. I have not obtained this goal of being perfectly Christ-like. Not that I have already been made perfect, but catch this now, I actively press on so that I may take hold of that perfection for which Christ Jesus took hold of me and made me his own. Amen?
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have perfectly made it my own yet. But one thing I do, if I don't do anything else, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on, I press on, I press on toward the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus for my life now. Amen?
Amen.
All of us who are mature, the Apostle Paul goes on to say, all of us who are mature, that is, all of us who are pursuing spiritual perfection should have this attitude. Are you pursuing spiritual perfection? And if in any respect you have a different attitude, God will make it clear to you. Amen?
Amen.
Jumping down to verse 20, for our citizenship is first in heaven, and so we eagerly await the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by exerting his power to subject everything to himself, he will complete our perfection. He will complete our perfection, and he will refashion our earthly bodies to be like his glorious resurrected body. Amen? Anybody here looking forward to the new body other than me? Hallelujah. We can have a taste of it now. Because again, we have the Spirit of God in us and we have the resurrection power of God available to us. Amen. To experience some of the heavenly realm now in this life as it is in heaven. Amen. The fullness of our perfection will only be realized in the life to come. But in the meantime, let's say that together. In the meantime, God's heavenly grace is sufficient for every human insufficiency. Amen?
Amen.
God's grace is sufficient for me. Amen?
Yes.
Decree that and declare that in the face of every seeming human insufficiency that you're dealing with. And when you say, God's grace is sufficient for me, then you activate the reality of that in your life. Amen?
Amen?
God's heavenly power is our strength for every human weakness. Amen? Anybody here other than me feel weak in one time or another after coming to know Christ? Well, you can decree in the face of that weakness that God's power is my strength. Amen. God's power is perfected through this weakness. Amen.
Amen.
You decree it. And when you decree it, you speak the reality of it. Because the Holy Spirit makes it real. Amen.
Amen.
Being progressively perfected is the upshot of the sanctification process in our lives as believers. The sanctification process results in being progressively perfected. Let me say that again. The sanctification process results in being progressively perfected. Everywhere the word sanctification is referenced in the New Testament, it relates to the Greek root word that means to make holy. To make holy. That's what sanctification, that word, every time it shows up in the New Testament, sanctification, it means to make holy. And so when a person comes to faith in Christ, catch this now, in that moment that they come to faith in Christ, they are sanctified. They are sanctified, and that they are now designated as belonging to God. Amen?
Amen.
Designated by God to be set apart, to become more and more like Him and living out His plan and purpose. Amen?
Amen.
God by His Word and by His Spirit echoes this to us today from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Peter speaking to believers then, and God by His Word and by His Spirit speaking to us today, that in Christ you are now God's special possession. Amen?
Amen.
In the moment that you submit your life to Christ, in the moment that you receive Christ as your Savior and submit to His Lordship, in that moment, you are God's special possession. You are sanctified before the throne of God. You are designated in right standing before God's throne. Amen?
Amen.
So that you may live to proclaim the virtues and perfections of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Make no mistake about it. The moment that you profess faith in Christ, a deposit of the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you as a seal that you are set apart and you're standing before God's throne. Aren't you glad for that? And this is called positional sanctification. You are sanctified positionally before the throne of God when you come to faith in Christ. Aren't you glad for that? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14 encourages us along these lines. The Apostle Paul speaking to believers then, God by His Spirit speaking to us today, that when you believed in Christ, you were marked in Him with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance. Guaranteeing your inheritance until the full redemption of those who are God's people to the praise of His glory. Amen?
Amen.
The day of our full redemption is drawing nearer. Amen? Make no mistake about it. when we initially come to faith in Christ, we are positionally set apart for God before His throne. But our actions and our attitudes immediately following our profession of faith, the way that we talk, the way that we live our lives initially, immediately following our decision for Christ, may not be much different from before coming to faith in Christ. Anybody experienced that other than me? Like the day after I gave my life to Christ, I didn't sound too much different. I wasn't doing things too much differently, but I knew that I knew that I knew that I knew that I had made a decision for Christ and that I was the Lord. But the next day after that, I didn't seem too much different yet. Amen? Anybody here ever experienced that other than me? Still treading through the same weeds, still talking the same filthy way, and still doing the same ridiculous kinds of things. But yet you're positionally sanctified. Amen? Thank God for His grace. Amen? Well, catch this now. I think this is the crux of the message. Positional sanctification is the starting point for practical sanctification. As we grow in our relationship with the Lord through the transforming work of His Word and Spirit in us, we grow in our relationship with the Lord through the transforming work of His Word and His Spirit in us by progressive obedience to His directives, progressive obedience, and progressive cooperation with the convictions and the leadings of the Holy Spirit in us. And catch this now, with accountability to the spiritual leadership and fellowship of the local church. The local church framework is what the Word of God has set in place for us to grow and develop and mature in the Lord, and for our giftings to flow out of the framework of a local church fellowship and the appointed, God-appointed, God-gifted spiritual leadership and fellowship there. Amen? Not to digress, but I read an article recently that said that millennials in the church, generally speaking, have this attitude that they don't want to be told what to do. They don't want to be told what to do. It's just kind of a character trait, if you will, of this group. And it has infiltrated into the church to the point of where millennials at large say, well, I don't need to be part of a church fellowship. I can just stay home and watch it on TV or do what I want to do when I want to do it. And so I thought that was interesting, but also alerting in the sense of we have to guard our attitudes so that we don't get away from what the Word of God sets forth as the framework for local church fellowship. Amen?
Amen.
And part of that is that we hold ourselves out to be accountable to spiritual leadership and fellowship of the local church. And as we do that, it helps us to become progressively more sanctified. It helps us to become progressively more perfected in our attitudes and life perspectives, in the way that we talk and live our lives, putting holiness into practice, to be progressively conformed into what God desires for us. Amen? Be motivated afresh today, saints of God, that as born-again professed believers in Jesus Christ, we are sanctified positionally, but we also need to be increasingly more sanctified practically. We are holy positionally, but we need to increase in our holiness practically. We are designated saints of God, but we need to live more like saints. Amen?
Amen.
Progressive perfection should be the life goal of every professed believer in Christ. But absolute perfection will not be attained in this life. And although the expectation is that as believers with a sinful nature living in a fallen world, we will never be completely sinless, but through the pursuit of progressive perfection, we can expect to sin less and less. Amen? Are you sinning less than you did from the day you came to Christ. Hopefully you're sinning less and less. Amen?
Amen.
We're not going to be sinless, but we can sin less and less. Amen? And we're not going to use our sinful nature or this fallen world as an excuse to keep on sinning. Amen? I see some people doing that. Not in this fellowship. Other people. Elsewhere. And catch this now. As long as we're not living a life of conscious, unrepentant rebellion, then God will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Anybody here know a believer, a professed believer that's living a life of conscious, unrepentant rebellion? I know one or two, and it burdens my heart. And they need our prayers for a spirit of repentance to come upon them so that they can get back into the fullness of what God has in mind for them. Amen? And we need to be careful how we're helping people in that state. Because sometimes you think you're helping them, but you're actually working against what God's trying to do to get them back.
Yeah.
Amen? God, by His Spirit, is urging us to progressively count ourselves dead to the power of sin and alive to the power of God through the victory of Jesus Christ, giving ourselves completely to honor God, giving ourselves completely to honor God, so that sin would not dominate our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Make no mistake about it. One of the tangible outcomes of progressive perfection, catch this now, is that we become increasingly consistent doers of the Word of God. Amen? We're transformed and perfected in order to do. Amen? We're progressively perfected by God's Word so that we can be progressive doers of God's Word. Amen? And God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is stirring us up afresh today, I believe, along these lines from James chapter 1, verse 22. The Amplified transliteration reads it like this. Prove yourselves, prove yourselves, prove yourselves to be doers of the Word. Actively and continually obeying God's precepts and directives. And not merely listeners who hear the Word but fail to internalize its meaning, thus deluding yourselves by unsound reasoning that is contrary to the truth of God's Word. You see, when you don't internalize the Word of God, then there's a place in your heart there where something else can take the place of the Word of God in your heart. Amen?
Amen.
And that can be a deluding kind of a thing, because unsound reasoning can come into your heart in the place of the truth of God's Word, as reasonable as logic and reason can seem. It never replaces the truth of God's Word. Amen? I think in many instances I've come across believers over the years where logic and reason have been enemies to their faith. They're not walking in faith. They're talking themselves out of faith, because when we walk in faith, we have to trust God to bring the results, and it's not always logical or reasonable, is it? We just do His Word, we believe Him on His Word, and then He does it in a supernatural way. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's what James was talking about. If we're not internalizing God's Word, then we're going to find ourselves in a place of being deluded by unsound reasoning. God, by His Word and by His Spirit, is urging each of us afresh today to demonstrate a progressive, sincere commitment to the Lord by responding and reacting to what we hear and read in His Word with obedient action. Obedient action. Let's say that together. Obedient action. I used to tell our kids when they were growing up, obey right away. Obey right away and you'll spare yourself some agony. Otherwise, let the spankings begin. Amen? My kids used to say, well, Dad, who spanks you?
And
I say, well, believe me, God spanks me. Amen? Anybody ever get spanked by God as an adult? Amen? He has a special wooden spoon that He uses on us to get our attention. Amen? Now, the original Greek language gives us the sense from James 1:22 that we must keep on becoming doers of God's Word. It's more of a progressive word. Keep on becoming doers of God's Word with genuine faith that calls for obedience that endures. Anybody here get weary in your obedience other than me? Anybody here other than me get weary in the fight? But you're not weary of the fight. Amen? You get weary in the fight. And the essence of what God is calling us to is a sense of genuine faith that calls for obedience that endures, allowing the Word of God to go further than our eyes and ears and to penetrate our heart and soul for transformational change that results in changed behavior. Amen? We see more and more in the church at large ungodly behavior being justified, even by leaders in the church. James chapter 1, verse 25 encourages and motivates us along these lines from the Amplified transliteration. And we'll close with this. He who looks carefully into the perfect Word of God and faithfully abides by it, not having become a careless listener who forgets and fails to take it to heart, but rather taking the Word of God to heart, becoming an active doer who obeys, he will be blessed and he will be favored by God in what he does in his life of progressive obedience. Amen?
Amen.
Bow your heads and take a quiet moment of prayer response now to the Word of the Lord as it's come to you today.